Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy high Sabbath day. We thank you for this offering, Father, that we have collected. We ask that it would be for your honor and glory, that you would strengthen your people, and that you would cause your will to be done in our lives. Father, we're trying to keep your covenant and do that which is right in your sight. Therefore, we were commanded to come before you, and we've come before you this day, Father, to not only bring this offering to you, but to come and offer ourselves to you, Father, as servants who are obedient to keeping each and every one of your covenant laws. We thank you again, Father, for the love that you've manifested toward us through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and gave his life as the Lamb of Yahweh. So, Father, as we ask for strength from you, and we ask for more of your Holy Spirit, as we keep this Feast of Unleavened Bread to you, as an unleavened people, we ask that you would continue to bless us and watch over us as we seek to be a part of your kingdom, your soon coming kingdom. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, Father, we humbly bow our hearts, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Yeah, they may have to, they should be able to come back in. Come right back in. There's some over there, but it's okay. Yeah. You know. This message is entitled, To Seek Yahweh. All Israel must set our hearts to seek Yahweh. We must seek Yahweh in every way that we can. He tells us in his word, to come before him three times in a year to seek Yahweh. And we're trying to live up to those commandments by being here, by doing his commandments. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and we'll start. Yeah, I saw Brenda's name there. Yeah, I think everybody went over. That was on the other one. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and to the ordinances which I teach you, to do them that you may live. And go in and possess the land which Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did because of Baal Peor. For all men that followed Baal Peor, Yahweh, your Elohim, has destroyed from among you. But you that held fast to Yahweh, your Elohim, are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, even as Yahweh, my Elohim, commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go in to possess it. Now, the land that we're going to possess is the kingdom of Yahweh. That's what we're seeking. Solve that by closing mine out. says in verse 6, therefore keep and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, that shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there that has an Elohim so close to them as Yahweh, our Elohim, is whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Our purpose is to seek Yahweh. He's given us, of course, the eternity in our hearts, as it says in Ecclesiastes, that men would seek to be a part of that kingdom. We have something that the world doesn't have, and that's a desire to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. It's very important that we understand, as we seek Yahweh, he will draw near to us. He will reveal himself to us because we have sought him. Remember what I said in Zephaniah, there's three types of people who are going to be destroyed. Okay? Those that are practicing the pagan worship, those that have been a part of Yahweh's faith and backslid, and those that have not sought Yahweh. So we have to seek Yahweh to be his righteous seed, to be his children. It's important as we try our best to live up to what it says in Deuteronomy 4, because it says here about being a great nation, a wise and understanding people. It says, for what great nation is there that has an Elohim so close to them? See, Yahweh is close to his people because we are seeking him. We want to be a part of him. We want him to be a part of our lives, just like we want to be a part of him. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Remember, this message is entitled, To Seek Yahweh. Second Chronicles chapter 30. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the assembly in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. And why did they keep it in the first month when it was commanded that it should be kept? The 14th day of the first month. It says in verse 3, for they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves in sufficient number, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. Back in those days, it took time to travel. And he sent the letters out by post, like the mailman, the post, but they had to go to the far corners of Israel, which took time to deliver this information to the people that they needed to come to Jerusalem to keep the feast, the Passover. And you could say, well, wasn't it known already? But you have to understand what was going on at that time in Hezekiah's reign. See? You had people who were actually Israel had been taken into captivity. So you really only had the Jewish people, the southern tribes, but you had people living up in the north, but they were, had been, the people there had been replaced by the Assyrians. So therefore they were your what they call Samaritans. Samaria was the capital of the 10 northern tribes of Israel. So you had some mixed people up there, but you still had Israelites or Jews that were spread out, and they were living up in the country. So Hezekiah sent people to them to let them know, we're keeping the Passover, but we're going to keep it in the second month because we couldn't get it done in time for the first month. Okay? And the thing was right in the eyes of the king and of all the assembly. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan. Now Beersheba is down in the southern part of Israel, and Dan is in the north, that they should come to keep the Passover to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel at Jerusalem. That was the place where Yahweh placed his name. And that eventually was where the temple was set up. For they had not kept it in great numbers in such sort as it is written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, your children of Israel, turn again to Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to the remnant that have escaped from you out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And this is the ones that did not get, the ones that did not get transported over to the cities of the Medes by the river where the Medes and the Persians were. And do not, verse 7, and do not be like your fathers and like your brethren who trespassed against Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, so that he gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to Yahweh. Yield yourself to Yahweh and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever. Now, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it was commanded that they would come to Jerusalem to keep the feast. So three times in a year shall you come to keep the Feast of Yahweh. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Sukkot, Tabernacles. But yield yourself to Yahweh and to his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve Yahweh Elohim, that his fierce anger may turn away from you. For if you turn again, if you teshuva, if you repent and come to Yahweh, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, and shall come again into this land. For Yahweh Elohim is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. In other words, he's going to protect you. He's going to be there with you. He's going to bless you. Verse 10, so the post passed from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh and Zebulun, and they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, certain men of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also upon Judah came the hand of Elohim to give them one heart, to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of Yahweh. So some of them laughed him to scorn. Oh, man, these guys must be crazy. You know, we're going to give up what we're doing and leave our flocks and our herds, our fields and whatever to go to Jerusalem to keep a feast. See, you know, they were in that mindset. They were not there seeking Yahweh. But there were many who were ready to seek Yahweh. So they came. As it says, they humbled themselves. And that's what we have to do today, brethren. We have to humble ourselves to seek Yahweh. Verse 13, and there assembled at Jerusalem many people to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month, a very great assembly. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense they took away and cast it into the brook Kidron. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought burnt offerings into the house of Yahweh. And they stood in their place after their order, according to the law of Moses, the man of Elohim. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites, for they were many in the assembly that had not sanctified themselves. Therefore the Levites had the charge of killing the Passover for everyone that was not clean to sanctify themselves to Yahweh. But it was the second Passover, or in the second month, so everybody should be able to participate. But he's talking about the priests. See, these Levites took over their office to sanctify the Passover and to kill it. Verse 18, for a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what is written. For Hezekiah had prayed for them, saying, may the good Yahweh pardon everyone that sets his heart to seek Elohim, to seek Yahweh. See, this is what Hezekiah is asking, that sets his heart to seek Yahweh, the Elohim of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And Yahweh listened to Hezekiah, and he healed the people. See? This is why Yahshua could make an unclean person clean. Whereas though the unclean, normally if he touched someone that was clean, they would become unclean. Just the reverse. See, Yahweh can heal and take that person who is a leper, or take that person who has an issue, or take that person that has some other problem, whether it's demon possession or whatever, and he can deliver that person. Remember, the first high day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was deliverance. They left Egypt. It stood for deliverance. Yahshua delivered the people through his sacrifice. Now, he was the Lamb of Yahweh, Passover. He is the one who sacrificed his life for each and every one of us. He delivered us through, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is what? It's a deliverance from sin, because Egypt was a type of sin. And that's when they left, on the 15th day. They kept the Passover on the 14th, but they left Egypt on the 15th. Didn't have time to leaven their bread. It's unleavened. They ate that sweet bread, that unleavened bread, for 7 days. They ate it for 40 years. But I'm saying for 7 days, the feast, they had to eat unleavened bread. Okay? Verse 21. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised Yahweh day by day, singing with loud instruments to Yahweh. And Hezekiah spoke comfortably to all the Levites that had good understanding in the service of Yahweh. So they ate throughout the feast for 7 days, offering sacrifices of peace offerings and making confession to Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers. Have we been making confessions for these last 7 days, talking about Yahweh? We're supposed to be getting rid of our sins. We're supposed to be unleavened. You know, and if you find anything that was impure in your heart that you've done, you need to ask for forgiveness. Verse 23, and the whole assembly took counsel to keep another 7 days. And they kept another 7 days. This is how much they got into the spirit. They kept another 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, gave to the assembly for offerings 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the assembly 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of the priests sanctified themselves, and all the assembly of Judah with the priests and the Levites, and all the assembly that came out of Israel, and the sojourners that came out of the land of Israel, and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. And this is what we're looking for. We want to have great joy among Yahweh's people in YPTC throughout the world because we're keeping and seeking Yahweh. We're keeping the feast as commanded. But we are seeking Yahweh. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, there was not anything like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy habitation, even to heaven. At the end of the feast, that's one of the things we do. We bless the people. And we are commanded to bless the people. Those that have participated, those that have come out to seek Yahweh, they receive a blessing for doing so. Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6, we'll start in verse 16. And this is during the time of the captivity. And they were, Cyrus had made the decree that they were going back to build the temple, to rebuild the temple. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of the house of Eli with joy. And they offered at the dedication of this house of Eli 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel, one he-goat per tribe. And they set the priests in their divisions, in their courses, and the Levites in their courses for the service of Eloah, says Eli, that's the Persian version, I guess, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month, for the priests and the Levites had purified themselves together. All of them were pure, and they killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity and for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel that had come again out of the captivity, and all such as had separated themselves to them from the filthiness of the nations of the land. See, there's a separation between Yahweh's people and the people of the land. There's a separation between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. This is why Yahweh wants his people to be holy, to be clean before him, spiritually. Okay? It says here, and the children of Israel, in verse 21, had come again out of the captivity, and all such as had separated themselves to them from the filthiness of the nations of the land, to seek Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, did eat and kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with joy, for Yahweh had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. See, so during the days of Ezra, they sought Yahweh. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4 talks about a special type of people. A people who are very close, a great nation that has an Elohim so close to them. And we're going to look at verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes saw, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your children and your children's children. The day that you stood before Yahweh, your Elohim, in Horeb, when Yahweh said to me, assemble the people, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So the purpose is so that they would learn to fear Yahweh. And we know that this is the purpose for keeping the feast. Verse 11, and you came near and stood below the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And Yahweh spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the voice of words, but you saw no form, only you heard a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them upon the two tables of stone. And Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and ordinances, that you might do them in the land you go over to possess. And this is the covenant that we have with Almighty Yahweh. That covenant is what we just renewed. That's the purpose of taking the memorial emblems. That's the covenant that we entered in between Almighty Yahweh and ourselves through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. Verse 15. Therefore, take good heed to yourselves, for you saw no manner of form on the day that Yahweh spoke to you in Horeb out of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make a carved image in the form of a figure. So Yahweh knew what they were going to do. See? Said, lest you corrupt yourselves and make a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the heavens, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth, unless you lift up your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, that you be drawn away to worship them. And we are the people that do that. Easter sunrise service, the worshiping the mighty one of fertility with the chicks and the eggs, Diana of the Ephesians, or Astarte, as they call her. And serve them which Yahweh, your Elohim, has allotted to all the nations under the whole heaven. But Yahweh has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be to him a people of inheritance as at this day. He's called you out of the world for a purpose to seek him. Furthermore, Yahweh was angry with me for your sakes and swore that I should not go over the Jordan and that I should not go into that good land which Yahweh Elohim is giving you for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan. But you shall go over. You shall pass over. and possess that good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant. Lest you forget the covenant of Yahweh your Elohim, which he made with you, and make a carved image in the form of anything which Yahweh your Elohim has forbidden you. For Yahweh your Elohim is a devouring fire, a jealous El. Verse 25, when you shall procreate children and children's children, and you shall have been long in the land and shall corrupt yourself, you're going to become leavened, you're going to become corrupt. He's already prophesying. Moses was a prophet. He's telling them what's going to happen down the road after, you know, they have children and children's children. He's talking generations down the road. They're going to corrupt themselves and make a carved image in the form of anything. And you shall do that which is evil in the sight of Yahweh Elohim to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you should soon utterly perish. From off the land to which you go over to possess, over the Jordan to possess it. And you shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed, and Yahweh will scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few in number among the nations to which Yahweh shall lead you away. And there shall you serve Elohim, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you shall seek Yahweh, even after you've been in the idolatry of these pagan nations, you shall seek Yahweh, your Elohim, and you shall find him. When you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul, and that's the key, brethren. You got to search for Yahweh with all your heart and soul. See, he's telling Israel, you're going to hit rock bottom. You're going to get there, rock bottom, and you're going to seek me. Even though you were among these pagan mighty ones that you were serving, verse 30, when you are in tribulation, and all these things have come upon you in the latter days. So he's telling you right now, this is happening in the last days, that these things are going to come upon you. And you're going to come back from the worship of these pagan idols, and you're going to seek Yahweh. Remember, the message is entitled, To Seek Yahweh. We want to seek Yahweh today, brethren, because we know he's the only true living Elohim. All the rest of them are idols, and they can't do a thing for you. They can't deliver you like Yahweh can deliver you from whatever is ailing you. Doesn't matter whether it's drugs, sex, whatever. If you're a thief, like I said, if you're a fornicator, if you are just taken away with yourself, a lot of people are just into themselves. They love themselves more than they love their neighbor or Yahweh or anybody else. But Yahweh has the solution for that problem. He can deliver you from any problem, any sin. He can deliver you. It says, you shall return to Shuvah, to Yahweh your Elohim, and listen to his voice. For Yahweh your Elohim is a merciful El. He will not fail you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you since the days that Elohim created man upon the earth, and from the one end of heaven, even to the other, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or has been heard like it. Has a nation ever heard the voice of Elohim speaking out of the fire, as you have heard and lived? Or has Elohim tried to go and take a nation from the middle of another nation by trials, signs, and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was showed that you might know that Yahweh is Elohim. There is no other besides Him. There is no other besides Yahweh. Out of heaven, He made you to hear His voice that He might instruct you. And upon earth, He made you to see His great fire. And you heard these words out of the fire. And because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them and brought you out with His presence. That's special, brother. That is special. It says over in verse 7 of this same chapter, for what great nation is there that has an Elohim so close to them as Yahweh our Elohim is whenever we call upon Him? If we seek Yahweh, He will be found of us, brethren. All we got to do is call on His name. All we got to do is call on His name. Verse 37, it says, and because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them and brought you out with His presence, with this great power, with His great power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before you greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance, as at this day. Know therefore this day and lay it to your heart that Yahweh is Elohim in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is no other. There is no other. It's important that we understand that there is no other. The mighty ones of the nations are idols. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44, 45. Is about the kingdom age, and I think it goes even further, 46 and 47. But in Ezekiel 44, we're going to start in verse 15. Ezekiel 44, verse 15. It says, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, when they went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer the fat and the blood, says the Sovereign Yahweh. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and inside. They shall have linen turbans upon their heads, and shall have linen trousers upon their loins, and they shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. And see, that's why the wool is heavier, and it would cause them to sweat. Yahweh saying, no, not in my temple. And when they go forth into the outer court, even into the outer court to the people, they shall put off their garments in which they minister and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, that they sanctify not the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads nor allow their locks to grow long. They shall only cut off the hair of their heads. Neither shall any of the priests drink wine when they enter into the inner court. And we know from Leviticus chapter 10, when the sons of Aaron died because they offered strange fire to Yahweh, they had went in to minister and they had been drinking. See? And that alters. It alters the person's personality. I mean, some people say it just lets down their inhibitions and let them yourselves go. But you're not supposed to be drinking in the holy place. And that's what basically is telling us. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take virgins of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that is a widow of a priest. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in the controversy, they shall stand to judge. According to my ordinances shall they judge. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed feasts. And they shall hallow my Sabbath. In other words, they're going to keep that which is holy, the high Sabbath as well as the weekly Sabbath. They're going to keep my feast days, my appointed feasts. And that they should hallow my Sabbaths. Make them holy. That's what hallow means. They're going to be holy for Yahweh's people. And they shall go in to no dead person to devour themselves, but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter, for brother or for sister that has had no husband. They may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon to him 7 days. And in the day that he goes into the sanctuary, into the inner court, to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, says the sovereign Yahweh. And they shall have an inheritance. I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. So the priest, this is why when we do the third tithe, the Levite, the sojourner, the widow, and the orphans can partake of that third tithe. The priest had no inheritance with Israel. They didn't receive any land. See? They lived within the walled cities. They had no inheritance. They didn't receive a portion of land as Israel would receive their inheritance. Their inheritance is from the tithe. You understand? They received from that first tithe. And it talks about them eating the from the meal offering and the sin offering because the priest's portion was of, they got that portion of the heave offering, the people's tithe, and the offerings that they gave. The priests, remember back in the days of Eli, when it talks about them putting in the flesh hook to get whatever the hook brought out, that was the priest's portion. But they said, no, we want it raw. Talk about his sons, Eli. They were corrupt men, and Yahweh put them to death for being corrupt. It says, and they shall eat the meal offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering and every devoted thing in Israel shall be theirs. That which is devoted is theirs. And the first of all the first fruits of everything and every oblation of everything and of all your oblations shall be for the priest. You shall also give to the priest the first of your dough to cause a blessing to rest on your house, and the priest shall not eat of anything that dies of itself or is torn, whether it be a bird or beast. The priests of Yahweh must set their hearts to seek Yahweh. That's important because they are the leaders, and they have to seek Yahweh so that the people who are looking at their example, who are following, are doing the same. Ezekiel chapter 45, we'll drop down to verse 21. Ezekiel 45, verse 21. It says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. And upon the day shall the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. And the 7 days of the feast, he shall prepare a burnt offering to Yahweh, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish daily, the 7 days, and a he-goat daily for the sin offering. And he shall prepare a meal offering, and an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, and a hin of oil to an ephah. In the 7th month, in the 15th day of the month in the feast, shall he do the like the 7 days, according to the sin offering, according to the burnt offering, and according to the meal offering, and according to the oil. Exodus chapter 30. We'll start in verse 11. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, when you take the census of the children of Israel according to those that are numbered of them, then shall each one give a ransom for his life to Yahweh. When you number them, that there will come no plague upon them when you number them. This they shall give everyone that passes over them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs, half a shekel for an offering to Yahweh. Everyone that passes over to them that are numbered, from 20 years old and upward. You have to be of the age of accountability, from 20 years old and upward, shall give the offering of Yahweh. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel, when they give the offering of Yahweh to make atonement for your souls. And you shall take the atonement money from the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before Yahweh to make atonement for your souls. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, we'll look at verses 24 to 27. And when they were come to Capernaum, that they that received the half shekel came to Peter and said, does not your teacher pay the half shekel? He says, yes. And when he came into the house, Joshua spoke first to him, saying, what do you think, Simon? The kings of the earth, whom do they receive toll or tribute? From their sons or from strangers? And when he said, from strangers, Joshua said to him, therefore the sons are free. But lest we cause them to stumble, go you to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you have opened his mouth, you shall find the shekel. That take and give to them for me and for you. Joshua kept the half shekel. It's showing he's fulfilling all righteousness because it was commanded in the law. And Joshua did it to fulfill all righteousness. Did he need to do it? No. He said all Israel should be free. But see, this was commanded in the law. And he did it to fulfill the commandments. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and mammon. You can't serve Yahweh and money. Therefore, I say to you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Don't even worry about your clothes. Is not your life, the life more than food, and the body than raiment? Behold, the birds of the heaven, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to the measure of his life? And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if Elohim does so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And that's what it boils down to, brethren. What kind of faith do we have? Do we trust Yahweh? He provides everything we need. He says the birds, they don't have barns to put their harvest in. Yet, they're taken care of. He gives them what they need on a daily basis. Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first his kingdom. Seek Yahweh, brethren, and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil of it. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1. If then you are raised together with the Messiah, seek the things that are above, where the Messiah is, seated on the right hand of Yahweh. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with the Messiah in Yahweh. When the Messiah, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked. We were once there, brethren, before Yahweh called you, and before you answered, before you sought him, when you lived in these things, but now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth? Do not speak falsely to each other, having put off the old man with his doings, and having put on the new man, that is being renewed to the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there cannot be Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freedman, but the Messiah is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as Yahweh's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Master forgave you, so also do you. You need to learn to forgive. Forgiveness is very important in our quest for salvation. Because if we don't forgive those who've trespassed against us, Yahweh's not going to forgive us. Verse 14, and above all these things, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of the Messiah rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of the Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, anthems, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Yahweh. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the sovereign Yahshua, giving thanks to Yahweh the Father through him. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. We'll start in verse 1. Amos 5, 1. It says, hear this word which I take up for lamentation over you, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She shall no more rise. She is cast down upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus says the sovereign Yahweh, the city that went forth 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went forth 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says Yahweh to the house of Israel, seek me, and you shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek Yahweh, and you shall live, lest he breaks out like a fire in the house of Joseph, and it devours you, and there is none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, seek him that makes Pleiades and Orion and turns the shadow of death into the morning and makes the day dark with night, that calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. Yahweh is his name. He's declaring to the people who it is that does these things, that brings sudden destruction upon the strong, so that destruction comes upon the fortress. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and he that has no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Listen diligently to me and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander to the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you know not, and a nation that knew not you shall run to you. Because Yahweh, your Elohim, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Then return to Yahweh, to Shuva, return to Yahweh. And he will have mercy upon him and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. He's going to pardon our sin, brethren, if we return and repent to Yahweh and ask for the forgiveness. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven returns not there, but waters the earth, and makes it springs forth and buds, and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Brethren, we're supposed to seek Yahweh. He is the one that is calling us out of this sinful world. Almighty Yahweh has given us a blessing. We know that He has shared with us His Passover memorial, the covenant, and the death of the Messiah, our Passover lamb. It's a redemption sacrifice. The first high day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread signifies deliverance and sanctification. The second high day signifies resurrection. It signifies Yahweh, Yahshua being raised. Yahshua was raised at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He has the victory over sin. During this time of the year, we have the latter rain. Almighty Yahweh is seeking a people who are looking to seek Him. So they want to draw near to Yahweh, and He's going to draw near to them. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you that has sought Him, that is drawing near to Him, so that they would receive the blessings from on high. At this time, I ask Brother Davis if he would come and close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, as we come humbly but boldly before Your throne, we ask Almighty Yahweh that You would have mercy upon us as we see ourselves in Your word in areas of our lives in which we came up short seeking You. We ask Almighty Yahweh that You would give us fear of You and allow us not to add to Your word. Many of we, Your children, at times add to Your word and said things that You said, and we just plain old lied upon You. So we ask for mercy right now, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that You would deliver whom You have chosen from pagan worship as never before. Turn them back unto Thee, Almighty Yahweh. And we ask that You would bring back those who backslid and allow those who need to draw near to You to do so. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that You would allow we, Your children, to fear You and find the necessary compassion that is needed in our lives and allow us to humble ourselves to seek You in all ways and all things. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that You would clean us and heal us the way Hezekiah asked for, and it was so when he prayed. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that You would allow we, Your children, to examine ourselves and see those areas in which we come up short and those areas in our lives in which we need to have Your Spirit moving the most. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that You allow us to hear Your word so we can fear You. Deliver us from the corruption we have done to ourselves against You, Almighty Yahweh. Allow us not to be stingy and give the first of our dough in all ways and all things. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that You allow us to keep the half shekel offering as Yahshua did. Allow we, Your children, to seek You first, Almighty Yahweh, and allow we, Your children, to set our minds on things that are above. And we ask, Almighty Yahweh, that You will put us in a mind to return unto You so we could be good Yahudim. We ask these and all of our blessings in Your Son Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.